Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, November 25th, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 70, the first paragraph, Suppose We Fall Short, and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Shelley E., who will be reading the 12 steps, Athena B. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Becca R., Sandy W., and K.P. The share ID for Sunday, November 24th, the special edition, is 13,710. That's 13710. And for this morning's November 25th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, the share ID is 13,711. That's 13711. Our newcomer greeter for today is Mo H., and Reggio will be making the announcements. And someone's unmuted, so if you could please press star one so we don't have any background noise. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence in the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thanks for your service. Good morning, everyone. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
And thank you, Shelley E. Athena B., could you read the 12 traditions for us, please?
I would be happy to. This is Athena B. from Northern California, and these are our traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Athena B.
You're welcome.
How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 70, the first paragraph that starts with, suppose we fall short. We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And Becca R., if you could get us started, please. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater from Kentucky. Suppose we fall short on the chosen ideal and stumble. Does this mean we are going to get drunk? Some people tell us so, but this is only a half-truth. It depends on us and our motives. If we are sorry for what we have done and have the honest desire to let God take us to better things, we believe we will be forgiven and will have learned our lesson. If we are not sorry and our conduct continues to harm others, we are quite sure to drink. We are not theorizing. These are facts of our experience. And there's so much in this paragraph. I mean, wow, what is coming up for me is the word motives. And I think back to when I was active in my bulimia and I was just completely unaware that what I was doing was potentially hurting everybody around me. Until I couldn't unsee it. I can remember my daughter's little fingers under the door jamb while I was in the bathroom one day throwing up, and I had this awakening, and it's like I could never unknow that feeling of this is not what God would have me be. And I've had that experience with lots of different things as I pursue this path of recovery where you know, last week I can participate in actions or behaviors, and this week I have an awakening where I'm no longer okay with that. And it's a good thing because it means I am growing closer to God and I'm no longer comfortable in those situations. I cannot afford to be a grumpy mom these days, where before, I mean, that was my MO. I was always a grumpy mom. I was tired. I was, grumpy. And now it's not comfortable anymore. And I know that it doesn't correlate with the ideal that I set my intention with, through working this process. So what are my motives? I love one of my favorite outreach callers. Her first thing will be, what are you working on today with God? And so when I'm focusing on that, when I'm starting my day of, what am I going to be working on today with God's help? It directs my thoughts and actions to what my higher power would have me be. So I'm excited to hear what everybody else says. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Becca R. Okay, who else would like to share? We've got a lot of feedback. So make sure you're muted. We're on
Shelley,
page three, the first paragraph.
Irene.
Oh, sorry. Okay, hold on, you guys. Hold on. 1 second. Wait. We're on page 70, the first paragraph. Suppose we shall fall short. Who would like to share? I got
Hi,
Shelley
Lisa
E.
Evan
Lisa
B.
G.
Irene
B.
W.
Irene B. Was that Lisa? Who W?
Sandy W.
Sandy W.
Julie E.B.
Julie E.B. Okay, let's stop there. Ooh, you guys are ready to roll this morning. I love it. So I have Shelley E., Lisa G., Evan B., Irene B., Sandy W., and Julie E.B. So go ahead, Shelley E. Did I not hear a Shelley E.? Maybe I did not hear a Shelley E.
This is Shelley
okay.
CR.
Okay, go ahead, Shelley.
Thank you. This is Shelley CR, a grateful recovering compulsive overeater from Minnesota. And I'm just grateful to be a part of this meeting. Usually I'm not able to be here on Mondays. So the more often I'm able to be a part of these meetings, the more helpful it is for me to stay connected with my higher power. And this paragraph specifically, that part about the first question about, you know, stumbling, it's like, yeah, I do stumble. I work my program to the best of my ability, and I try to stay connected to my higher power, but I'm also human and very imperfect. And so that stumbling part of things is going to be continue to be a reality. However, that being the case, that doesn't mean I need to go back to the food. Having found some abstinence within this program, and I'm less than 6 months at this point, but I have passed my 3 months, so that's good, but it's that connection with my higher power. So the more that I'm able to recognize with that searching and fearless moral inventory that I'm doing right now in step four, and just being brutally honest about my motives, about why I'm doing things, about what I am doing, looking at my part in things, not focusing on what the other person is doing, but focusing on how I'm responding, focusing on how I am living or not living this program. I love the step 11 prayer and focusing on the positives that I'm bringing in my relationships with others. And so this paragraph is just helpful to remind me, as I can easily slip back into that those past behaviors of kind of shaming myself, which helped keep me in the cycle of food. But instead of doing that, then I can recognize, like, this is progress, not perfection. How do I get back to staying connected with my higher power? How do I make amends when that is necessary on an immediate basis versus holding on to it and continuing in the resentments and the fears? But I'm very grateful to be here and have this be a focus for today. And thank you, everyone. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Shelley. And I think you said it was CR. Okay, so Lisa G., you're up next, followed by Evan B. Lisa G., star one to unmute.
Oh, may I be heard now?
Yes, you can.
Awesome, thank you. This is Lisa G., recovered in Texas. you know, this whole chapter on this whole bit about sex, what I'm finding out is even if a person is not having sex at this point, this intimate and loving relationships can still fall under this category. My father-in-law is basically dying in a nursing home right now, and I was over there yesterday. And when I saw my sweet mother-in-law sitting on the edge of his bed and lean over and put her head on his chest, it just broke my heart. So when I left, I was going to an appointment. I was in my car, and I had just eaten my lunch. I mean, I was very satisfied. I was not hungry at all. And the first thing I thought of when I started driving was, I want something to eat. And oh my God, it hit me so hard for the first time ever in my addiction, which has been many, many years, and in 12-step programs for food for many, many years, that I finally put together, you know, stressful, sad situation, want to eat. And, you know, I made several 10-step calls around that and just experienced strength and hope calls around that, because it never hit me before, because it was just unconscious. It was kind of like, I don't even know what else is an unconscious thing that we do. I can't think of it right now. But, you know, just that unconscious, like feel uncomfortable, feel sad, feel out of control of the situation. My mind just wants to eat because it's going to make me think about something else. So I didn't eat, thank God. But that was huge, you know, and I couldn't have told you conscious on my motives. I was unconscious of everything for so many years, and I was so grateful that I could put two and two together yesterday. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa G. Okay, Evan B., you're up next, followed by Irene B.
Hi, this is Evan B. from Los Angeles, California. May I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Hi. I love this reading today. I think time and time again it's been proven that without a higher power, it's just like we can't be trusted to be making these decisions alone. And it's impossible, at least for people like us. For other people, it may be something they could just switch, but for us, it just isn't like that. And so I think for that step one, we made a decision to fire ourselves from the job title of food intake handler, at least for myself. So, you know, whoever is in charge of the food intake handler position in my life, it is no longer me, my higher power or its plan of action or its program. And the times that I'm really asking, what would God have me be? And higher power, please help guide me. Or higher power, is this okay? If I actually really tune in and ask and listen to those questions, I have a good day and I have a good moment. And when I don't tune into that, I don't. So it's really up to me what kind of life I want to live. And it's so easy to become rebellious and indignant of the higher power and say, you know what, oh, I can't take it anymore. I just want to let loose, yada, yada, yada. And then at the end of the day, it's just not really a good life. And if I'm honest, and I'm not selfish, and it's really, really becomes apparent, I'll connect to the higher power, really is a better life for me. So I really like being on this line because it really connects me to that over and over again every day. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan B. Okay, Irene B., you're up next, followed by Sandy W.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B., a very grateful recovering emotional eater and recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. This paragraph is still talking about the sex conduct, but it applies to every aspect of our lives. And I wonder why they decided that we needed to inventory our sex inventory. Well, because that's the most powerful, most intimate part of our lives. And it entails relationships. And what I'm learning is that it's not just our sexual relationships, whatever patterns we have in our most intimate relationships also spill over into the patterns of relating that we have with every human being we encounter, just to a different degree, depending on how comfortable we are with the other human being that we're interacting. But we pretty much follow the same motive, the same principles, the same pattern of behaving. And I think this is beautiful. I thought it was stupid to do the sex inventory thing because everything's in the past and da 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 da. But the reality is that everything about the intimate part of my life applies to all of the relationships that I have, and I'm very thankful for that. And whenever we stray, here we're talking about sex, but it's when we stray in any area of our lives. And if we stray with the food, which is our main object here, or alcohol or drugs or whatever it may be, it's going to take God to get us back to where we need to be. And we can be abstinent. I am abstinent 31 months, but I don't consider myself recovered because the obsession of the mind where my disease originated is still very much alive. It's a lot better than it used to be. But, you know, my problem is my cognitive distortions, the way I see the world, the way that I react to it. I'm hypervigilant. I overreact, I over-identify, I if I can interpret anything in a negative manner against me, that's how it's going to go, and it's going to go very strongly, and it results in a horrible buildup of human emotion. I go around feeling rejected and neglected. It takes the slightest amount of a slight for me to feel just dejected, just destroyed, demoralized. That's not right. And intellectually, I understand that I'm overreacting if I stop, if I pause, but most of the time I'm not aware. Well, I take it back. Most of the time I'm aware now, and I know to pause. And if I take it to God, God's going to take it from me. And with that, I pass. God is my only power against the obsession of the mind and my cognitive distortion. See myself through my God's eyes, not my critical parents' eyes. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Irene B. Okay, Sandy W., you're up next, followed by Julie E.B.
Thanks, Kathleen. Thank you so much for your service. So I love the way this paragraph starts. Suppose we fall short of our chosen ideal. I don't know if it's just me, but there's no suppose needed at all because I have and I know I will continue to fall short of my chosen ideal. But, you know, I'm certainly blessed in that I continue to be blessed with my abstinence. And I know that's not because of my own power, but only because of a power greater than me. You know, I've seen in myself and others that I work with, though, how helpful these shortfallings can be if I do, if just as this paragraph says, and look at my motives and the lesson I can learn from these missteps. You know, I've also seen it in my growing relationship with God, that in my hardships, my fears, resentments, and the harms I've caused others, these can either tear me away from God, or that tear can lead to a deeper, stronger relationship. I've heard it compared recently to strength training in the gym, that we tear the muscle down through the hard work that we do to allow it to grow even stronger. And that's what I'm beginning to realize can happen when we fall short in the ways we interact with others. And I know in my case, I certainly will. I certainly do, and I certainly will. But in my experiences, only as this paragraph states, if we are sorry for what we've done and have the honest desire to let God teach us better ways. You know, I've shared before about my journey and the emptiness I felt when my boys had the nerve to grow up on me and leave the nest to this amazing place I am now where I get to volunteer as a baby cuddler in the NICU and take care of toddlers at my Bible study. You know, one of the books I read to them often is Dr. Seuss's Oh, the Places You'll Go. You know, I can't help but thinking of it as this paragraph tells us. We can learn beautiful lessons if we take our missteps to God. But I also appreciate where we will go if we are not sorry and our conduct continues to harm others. Instead of that God muscle of sorts being strengthened, it will continue to tear apart. And that always leads back to the food, just as this paragraph warns. And I know that's a place I certainly do not want to go. So that's all I've got today. Thanks for your service, Kathleen, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Sandy W. Okay, and before we take Julie E.B., just a reminder, we're on page 70, the first paragraph, suppose we fall short. We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph, and I'll be taking some names for more shares after Julie E.B. So go ahead, Julie, please.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado, and I'm really grateful for these paragraphs. For me, there's a real beautiful piece here of letting us know that we will fall short of these ideals. And for me, I apply the ideals not just to my sex relations, but to all the harms and all the relationships that I have. So I do sex conduct inventory with and without harms, and, with and without sex. And so I find that that, for example, with my children, you know, the ideal to be reliable and trustworthy, unlike the person that I was in the food, where they never knew which mom would come home to them. And so it really helps me to look at this and to realize that I'm gonna fall short of these ideals. And I love the way it says, you know, and if we're sorry, you know, some of us have muttered, I'll speak for myself, I've muttered sorry too often. I was sorry for who I was, what I was, everything I did, but I didn't really get it to this level. This is a different kind of sorry. This is a sorry that occurs between me and God when I really look at the simplicity of the harm inventory, what I did, what I do differently next time. As I said last week, it's not the sorry associated with shame about who I am, because I am a child of God. It's just the guilt that I recognize I can come to see. Some of the things I do hurt other people. And when I fall short of my deals, I hurt other people. And so if I'm truly sorry and willing to let God care for me, I mean, what powerful words, the provision of everything I need for my health, welfare, and well-being. I mean, wow. So here, not only am I sorry, but if I let God care for me, my higher power moves me back to sanity, not some quick, oops, I'm sorry. And one of the spiritual practices that a mentor showed me was to wait 24 hours with some of these harms. They involve my kids, especially my husband, where deep resentments are kicked up. I wait 24 hours to make sure I'm out of the vicious cycle. And the last thing I'll say is that I have to be willing, for me to do step six and be willing to let go of some of these defects, I have to be willing to look at their faces and see the harm that I'm doing, look at the harm, look at the people I'm hurting with my sex conduct and other conduct, and really see the harm and really feel sorry instead of just indignant and it's all their fault and I should either be perfect or just a horrible creature. So I hope that's helpful, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Okay, who else would like to share on page 70, the first paragraph?
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Robin P.
Robin P.
Sarah.
Sarah, first initial of your last name, Sarah?
S, like Sarah. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Mo H.
Mo H. Anyone else? Okay, well, we'll stop there then. So I have Deborah G., Robin P., Sarah S., and Mo H., and if you've been wanting to share and a little nervous about doing it, it's time to do it, so I'll take more names after Mo H. So be ready to star one. So go ahead, Deborah G.
Oh, thank you, Kathleen, and all everyone that has made this meeting possible this morning. I'm Deborah G., compulsive overeater, and so grateful for this program. And for those beautiful, beautiful 12 steps. I am so blessed to be able to see some of the core things that have led me to the food. And one of them is that feeling of I'm not enough, the unworthiness. That's a real core thing for me. And seeing how when I'm in that place, how I react to other people. You know, I take things personally and then I react back to them. Or they say something to me and I react back at them, you know, and I'm learning to, with the process of God in it, asking God to remove that, and then going out into the world and being love and being kind and being free of that, the experience of being free of that, because I don't want to hurt people anymore like that, you know, all because of my own unworthiness and my I'm not enoughness, that I lash out to other people, react. You know, people don't deserve that. The world does not deserve that. You know, I want to put love and kindness out there to the world. And being aware that I am love, that I am centered in God, and God is centered in me, and God is love. And being that love to everyone I come in contact with in my day. And I'm so grateful to have come to that place because of these beautiful 12 steps. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. Okay, Robin P., you're up next, followed by Sarah S.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Kathleen. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida, and thanks so much for leading the meeting and for everybody who's on the meeting. Such a blessing. I love this group so much. You know, I've fallen short of the chosen ideal and stumbled so many times in so many areas in my life, and it's just about mercy and grace at this point. And, you know, I'm an inventor, and I sell something that helps people to keep moving, and I have different choices every day to which things to do. And sometimes I go, oh my gosh, I isolated too much. I was assembling and I isolated too much and I could have been making more calls. And it's falling short of the ideal in so many areas. And I get to just stay in gratitude, keep living and learning. How can I refine my behaviors in every area, you know? And I felt like I was too isolated yesterday and I could have made calls. So today I was able to be on the phone more, and it was such a blessing for me. And so as long as I'm receptive, you know, we look at our motives and then we stay receptive, I can keep tweaking things, you know. And I'm so grateful to be abstinent, and I'm so grateful to be in recovery because I am teachable. And that's the miracle and grace for me. I don't, thank God I'm, you know, I've gone through the steps and I've worked through the sex conduct portion of the fourth step and fifth step. And, you know, and I'm happily married today. And, you know, we work through our things, but I'm happily married. I'm very gratefully, blessedly married today. And I pray about that, you know, to stay faithful and keep my eyes on God. And so I really pray that everyone has a very abstinent, blessed Thanksgiving week. And with that, I pass. God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin P. Okay, Sarah S., it is your turn, followed by Mo H.
Thank you. Hi, this is Sarah S. in California. And it's just interesting the way some words jump off the page, my chosen ideal. I, too, when I look at this now about sex section, I didn't identify with it. But when I think about it in regard to relationships in general, it's very helpful. So I had an incident happen yesterday while I was listening to the gratitude special edition, and words jumped off the page, and I got or out of the speaking, and I just got caught up with this whole gratitude special edition, and I lost track of time, and I was missing my call with my sponsor. So I quickly got up, and I thought, oh my gosh, I've got to get on my call with my sponsor, and realized my dog was sick, and I carefully took care of her, and it made my time to my sponsor later. And that moment that seemed so simple was a big God shift, because I became someone that chose to be kind and loving to something that got in my way, which traditionally, if something got in my way, to me not showing up for someone that was expecting me would make me angry, would frustrate me, would make me not kind and loving the way God would have me be. So I shared that with my sponsor that, you know, I'm late because, and she was very gracious about it. But what I appreciated even more was I wasn't anxious to get on the phone with my sponsor. I was eager to help my dog. And I wasn't frustrated at her for getting in the way. So I don't know if that rings for other people, but it makes me very emotional because I realize how my perfectionism would get in the way of being my chosen ideal. And I don't want to pretend that my chosen ideal is different than who God made me. I've just gotten lost in the muck and the expectations that I put on myself and some of the things I grew up with. So for a moment, I took care of my dog. And I was at peace when I talked to my sponsor. And I didn't beat myself up. And I want that to be the truth for me. As I go on and remember that moment. So, excuse me, I'm nervous and I'm emotional. So thank you for listening, Sarah in California.
Thank you, Sarah S. Thank you. Okay, we're going to take Mo H, and after Mo H, we'll have time for about three more shares. So if you're wanting to comment on page 70, the first paragraph, I'll be taking a few names. So go ahead, Mo, please.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kathleen, for your dedicated service to this Monday morning meeting. My name is Mo H. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. So the first line there, suppose we fall short of the chosen ideal and stumble. And that immediately jumped out at me is when I fell short of something, I beat myself up immediately. There was no two sides to it. I just immediately, oops, didn't do it right, bad, wrong, down that path. So the next line, does this mean we are going to get drunk? It says, some people tell us so, but this is only a half-truth. So it's only a half-truth if I fall short of my chosen ideal. It depends on our motives, and that's the word I want to zero in on, motives, because I remember my sponsor starting to talk to me about, well, what is your motive? And I go, well, I don't know what my motive is. Well, what is your motive? Well, a motive is, I looked it up here in my little big book dictionary, and it says it's a driving force or it's an incentive. It's something as a need or desire that causes a person to do something. So what is my reason for saying something to my husband? Or what is, you know, and so now that when something is going on in my life, and I want to do something about it or I want to fix it, I have to stop and pause. That's one thing I do just pretty regularly now and say, well, what is my motive? I have to look at it. If it's to be of service and to be helpful and if it's with a good intention, yeah. But if it's to nag or to cut down or to prove wrong, then that's a bad motive, and then I need not do that. And so that's been really helpful to ask, just pause and ask myself, what is the motive, and how am I going to follow through with it? And that's all I have. Thank you, Kathleen, and have a great Monday. Pass.
Thanks. Thanks, Mo. Okay, who else would like to share on page 70, the first paragraph?
Carrie May, Upstate New York.
Uh-oh.
Margaret Jane.
Wait, I'm not hearing anybody.
Try again.
Okay,
I think
N.
I got LP. Okay, hold on. Here's what I got. I got a K and a Margaret,
yeah,
and a man between them. Who is that?
Tom C.
Okay, so K and Margaret, I'll have you give your initials, and we're going to have to stop there, I think. So K, go ahead, please.
Thank you. I'll talk fast. This is Karen Kay from Upstate New York.
Thank you so much. I just want to say thanks again for the convention. It was just beautiful. And what it reminds me of is what I always forget, and that is that I have to do my work so that I clean out the chamber that connects me to my higher power, because anything that good happens really comes from the higher power through me. It doesn't really come from me so much as the way that I've always thought about it. And the more I receive that, all of a sudden I get joy in places that I'm normally just striving. And the other thing I wanted to say is that I must say with the food, and it's been a long time, been in recovery a long time, and what I'm being directed to work on right now are the amends to myself, because I have had a way with a lot of people in my life of thinking, doing things and at my own expense, not setting appropriate boundaries or letting things be said, quote, at my own expense. And I really took that on in many areas of my life, and no wonder that I have never been able to get away from self-medication. And so right now I'm doing some very new, difficult things, like not, you know, being around certain, like family. I'm not being around my family on Thanksgiving. I'm going to recovery folks' houses. And so I couldn't do that without God's power. I don't think I really could. And I do get afraid sometimes when I think it might be coming from me instead of, and thinking that it's God, you know. So thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Karen K. Okay, Tom C., you're up next, followed by Margaret.
Hi, Tom C., a recovering compulsive eater in Seattle. The line about if we are truly sorry is what I want to focus on. I am definitely struggling. I just have 4 days of abstinence at this point after being in program for about 21 years. And I had this kind of chilling insight or chilling thought recently when I was conversing, so to speak, with my disease. And what I heard back from my disease, or the devil, or however one might want to conceive of it, was, it said, if you turn on me and really push me out of your life, I'll fix it so that when you want to come back and get some relief by compulsive eating, you won't get it. So it was chilling, because I have to admit that when I've binged on food and escapism, listening to talk radio or whatever it is, reading, it's been enjoyable, and it's been that sense of comfort and relief that one gets, like when taking the first drink, as it says in the big book. And so it's really kind of down to the bone. Am I willing to give up that promise of relief and live with, stay with my feelings and not seek that kind of immediate comfort? With that, I'll pass. Hope that's maybe been helpful to somebody. And thanks, everybody, for their service.
Thank you, Tom C. Okay, mm-hmm. Margaret, what's the first initial of your last name? Are you there, Margaret? No, Margaret? Okay. I have time for two shares. Who else would like to share?
Sorry,
a paragraph?
I thought I was unmuted. Do I still have time?
Yes, you do. You have plenty. Okay. Okay, and then I'm going to take Gina B. after that. So go ahead, Margaret.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's Margaret N. in Loomis, California. And I just wanted to share that when I do stumble, and there's no if in my life anyway, it's like I'm human, so I am going to stumble, that the grace I receive out of that is the humbleness and the humility that I receive when I realize I'm not perfect. And I have been a raging perfectionist in the past, and before it was either I was perfect or I was nothing. And now when I stumble, I'm just human. And it means I strayed away from the divine presence in my life, and I have tools now to get back to center with my higher power. And to have that, to be able to have humility is such a gateway to my higher power. It doesn't mean I'm humiliated at all. It means that when I have humility, my ego is back in check and way, way back in the back bleachers, and my higher power is in the forefront. And that is the grace of my stumbling. And to have to realize that and to be truly, honestly sorry for the harm I've caused myself or to those around me through my stumbling, and to be able to make right as best I can with my higher power's help. What an incredible gift. And it's such the joy I have when I open my eyes and my first awareness is, ooh, I get another day. It's just the greatest gift in the world. And I so thank this program for allowing me that a greater connection with my higher power that I never had before. And I always thought it was kind of a bunch of hooey, but as it becomes more real for me, it's absolutely life-changing. So thank you, everyone. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Margaret N. Okay, Gina B., we have time for you, so go ahead, please. And star one to unmute, Gina.
Hi, okay, thank you so much. Hi, everyone. My name is Gina B. I'm in Los Angeles, California. Wow. So I don't usually get the opportunity to share, so I'm grateful for the blessing of being able to share with my fellows right now. I came into this program in April of this year. My first meeting actually was on Easter Sunday. And, you know, I just celebrated finishing step two. So I'm really excited about that and just proud and humbled and happy and grateful and all of those things. And as I look at this paragraph, it's so meaningful and so jam-packed. I get why on this call we really only unpack one paragraph at a time because there's so much in it. And for me, I'm a believer and I'm a Christian, and I remember people telling me when I first started that, oh, that'll make this program that much easier for you. But in my experience, it actually didn't, because I remember just a few months ago thinking, what the heck does or would God want with my food? And wow, am I getting the answer to that question? And so when it talks about, you know, supposing we fall short of the chosen ideal and stumble, you know, that's something that I have a saying, you can't unknow what you know. And so as I move deeper into this program, and again, just so elated and happy to be celebrating finishing step two and with the step three on the horizon, I fall short of the chosen ideal kind of every day. I'm still struggling with putting together more than like 2 days of abstinence. So that's very real for me. But I love this part here that it talks about how it depends on our motives and demonstrating remorse and repentance and then coming back to God, to our higher power, and saying, okay, let's do this again, you know, and it's just really being molded in the fire, so to speak, of humility and things like that, and submission and surrender. and things like that. So this just really rings true for me. And I love that they say, you know, we're not theorizing. These are the facts of our experience, because they're the facts of my experience and what I'm going through right now, too. And so, you know, it's just this is very much a I feel really validated by this paragraph. And thank you. And that it's not just me, and that, you know, it's everybody, and we're all in this together. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gina B. Okay, and a special thanks to everyone on Team Monday. It's been a pleasure being part of your team this month. So thank you so much, Shelley E., Athena B., Becca R., Sandy W., KP, Mo H., and Reggie O. And we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Sandy W., will you please read A Vision for You?
Thanks, Kathleen. I'd be thrilled to. This is Sandy W., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you will find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thanks again, Kathleen.